Good morning, Mr. Mangan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. You knew.
Because you're 3 minutes late. And I was playing computer games way too late last night when I never bloody play them. And I'm just stretching here, waiting, thinking, oh, am I in the right mindset for this? He just tweeted about diapers. I think it's fine.
Yeah. What game?
It's called Tom Clancy Rainbow Six Siege. I like it because it's kind of reminds me of when I used to play Halo, and I can't play games at all, and I honestly try not to very often, but I just like the fact that in Rainbow Six Siege, when you shoot someone, they die. So it's not like you're just forever making yourself some superhero, superhuman. You're just like, not that I want to run around in real life playing with guns, but, you know, I just like the concept that if you're crap at it, you die pretty quick, and that's me. So I die in and I go and I have a cigarette and I come back and I watch the team win or whatever, you know.
There you go.
I don't know.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And I mainly played it for a while because I was actually with a bunch of 14-year-olds that were really good. And so I won loads of matches.
Did you get fragged?
Many C4s or whatever, when they throw that beeping box at you and then the next thing you know, you're just looking at a kill and it's you. Yeah.
Bummer, man.
Well, that's great. It's exactly how I wanted to start talking with you today. Just talk about something that I very rarely do ever. So that's fantastic. So what was, I mean, I've already listened to multiple of your interviews the last few weeks since this surprise EP came out. So I know that I know what the answer is in terms of you didn't want to have, well, I don't want to put you in a position of where you're just answering the same monotonous crap all the time.
Yeah, right. But, well, that's very considerate of you.
It was a surprise. And yes, it's a surprise. No one knew about it. It's a surprise because we didn't know about it. So we're surprised.
Yeah.
But you were talking a lot that you wanted to take the pressure off a little bit. And for me, it's just stunning. There's no other word to say. I've always thought that you were a poet. You're always a fantastic storyteller. And you were posting about your dad a few weeks ago and saying that you're glad that your parents pushed you through school. You got the BA in English. It set you up for doing all this stuff. But why is it then, as much as I'm sort of skirting around the frustration of the same question over and over, but still wanting kind of an answer,
sure, yeah.
Why did you decide to step back a bit? This is a very focused EP for me. Who are you aiming this at?
Yeah, right. Well, last year was an interesting year for me in many ways. And, you know, we made this album that was just, you know, a bit of a long, crazy labor of love. It was a bit of an opus of sorts, and it was so meticulous, and it was very large scale. And in many ways, I mean, to be totally frank, I thought that when the world heard it, it would just explode. And it didn't really. It was interesting. I mean, it got a suitable amount of attention and, you know, everything kind of, and it was an interesting experience to sort of do this thing that I thought was the best thing I'd ever done. And the feedback that we got on it was, it didn't really do as well by like sort of music industry metrics as the previous two had. And that sort of shook me a little bit. And, not so much that I was, you know, sour about not having it blow up, but just sort of the disconnect between what I sort of was expecting and then what actually happened. And it, you know, it kind of shook me a little bit just because of the expectations. And I realized, well, the problem here isn't the world. The problem here is me having expectations that, you know, aren't really healthy to have. It doesn't really help you sleep at night to have these like huge expectations. And then if, you know, you don't kind of live up to them, well, then everything's a bummer all the time. So going back in the studio and me actually, a lot of these songs are, you know, fairly lo-fi recorded. They're done kind of, you know, with one or two mics in my basement and, sort of just messing around, and I recorded tons of stuff, and I felt like it was sort of me just spending time alone with microphones and gear was a really necessary thing to sort of move forward. I had a really hard time writing after Club Meds. I had a really hard time kind of moving forward. And so in the spirit of sort of forcing yourself, you know, it's like if you can't start a new book until you finish the old book, you know, forcing yourself to read the end of that book or forcing yourself to kind of move forward through the sludge and kind of squeeze the sponge to make room for new things. And I wasn't even really expecting to release any of this music at first until I started really liking it. And I sent it to the label and they were like, oh, this is great. We should put out an EP. And, you know, timing wise, that was really great for me because it gave me an excuse to kind of go and play some summer festivals this summer and, you know, stay active. And I'm not very good at being idle. I get really antsy and sort of, you know, anxious if I, if I'm not doing stuff all the time. So this was, a cathartic experience, really, just to kind of mess around and make music just for the fun of it. And then, you know, the bonus of it all was then I got to release it. And I've been really thrilled with the response. I mean, a lot of people, it is more pared down. It's more about the vocals and the lyrics. It seems to me people have been responding to that sort of tonal shift, and that's quite rewarding.
It's interesting how people just take in music. I like to listen to things 3 to 5 times and go through each bit. So first, what's the vocals going on? What's going on there with the lyrics of it? And then what's the instrumentation doing around it? And I think a lot of people get caught up in the fact that, oh, this has got the good beat, the good twang on the guitar, the whatever, it's catching me, it's keeping me. But a lot of the time, they don't understand what the actual content is. A good example of that is Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People. It's a song about a guy that goes into high school and kills his peers. It's a teenage kid who gets access to a gun and flattens the room. But yet that was one of the biggest hits of the summer 4 years ago.
And, interesting.
Which is very interesting. And so when it comes to your new EP, I mean, Race to the Bottom, you made that very clear with the lyric video that goes with it that helps people with that. But Whistleblower, which you described a little bit, and Forgettery, is that how you say it? Forgettery Redux?
Yeah, Forgettery, yeah.
With Teague and Quinn. I mean, okay, the Whistleblower you opened up a little bit on social media, but you opened up a little bit more about just sort of the construction of it, the guitar pedals, the time signatures, that sort of stuff. Who is this Whistleblower?
I think the Whistleblower is like mythological person that maybe doesn't exist. It's sort of the song is about feeling like, I think that we all kind of float back and forth between feeling very connected and tuned in and feeling alive, and sort of, you know, sometimes feeling extremely alive is actually kind of dangerous because it puts us on the outskirts of ourselves and we don't know how we're going to act or respond to things, and we feel very like emotional in that place. And there's a line in the song where it says, I'll come back from being away, get complacent and unawake, back to my senses. And it's tongue-in-cheek, right? It's sarcastic. It's sort of the idea that back getting back to our senses is getting back to sort of like almost like a slight sort of numbness of day-to-day. And when we do that, we make the people around us more comfortable by being a little bit more predictable and stuff like that. And so the song is sort of about feeling really sort of like emotionally volatile, or kind of in a space where, you know, the weight of the world is just too much and you're feeling the intensity of it. And the thing I think often that drives us the most crazy in the world is this feeling of sort of like everybody's playing the game and everyone's full of crap and, you know, this sort of willful blindness. And I think that, you know, all of these things, you don't want to get too soapboxy or preachy about it, but you know, really, I mean, that is like the heart of so much frustration. It's just feeling like the rest of the world is so willfully blind to all the hypocrisy and garbage that goes on. And so the song sort of says, yeah, but you could be the whistleblower. You could really sound it out. And it's sort of, you know, maybe it's talking to the listener. Maybe it's talking to someone who doesn't exist. It's sort of like casting aside the responsibility of it, you know, because, you know, I can't be I don't have the strength to be the whistleblower who changes the world, you know, so maybe you do. And it's sort of, in a sense, it's almost hopeful thinking or wishful thinking. It's suggesting that this other person could be the one who does it. And it was an interesting song to sort of work out because it was written quite a while ago and it sort of sat and it didn't make sense on the last record. And I knew that I liked it. I knew that I liked the melody and the lyrics, and I felt like it stood for something that was unique in the sort of pop music world. You don't hear a lot of songs that are that explicit about these types of themes. And so I was really happy that, you know, kind of messing around with it in on an acoustic guitar just made more sense than it had before. And sort of just getting down to the lyrics and the melody, because really, that song is, you know, it really is about the message and less about the sort of, you know, spectacularly cool sonics of it or something like that.
Yeah, well, it got my mind thinking tenfold, because It's been an interesting few weeks with family over in England and stuff, and I say and stuff, which is just to replace what would be a swear word with regard to Brexit. But it's been an interesting there's been some people in my family that have surprised me with their small-mindedness, and let's not get too far into that. But when I was listening to Whistleblower, I couldn't help but just throw that template of where our world is now politically, you know, living in Canada, looking at America, being in Canada, being from England, you know, being close to my citizenship here, and sort of being more happy that I've managed to find this route in life and I'm over this side of the world now. And I looked at it like that and thought, I applied into my mind a selfish look at it, which is I'm trying to just rebuild some family crap here, and I've got to be the guy that calls them out and says, look, you said this, let's discuss. So for me, Whistleblower, just the first time I heard it was 4 a.m. when I'd been up for hours and hours on Skype and whatnot with my sister and my mum and my dad, all at loggerheads for who voted yes and no and all that crap. So it's just a very touching song. So I wanted to just pick your brain a little bit on it.
Well, it's kind of unintentionally well-timed in a way.
I mean, yeah.
It was interesting, the day the Brexit vote went through, Gary from Snow Patrol actually tweeted Race to the Bottom. And it was sort of, it made sense that, you know, the sort of faction, that song, it's funny, in the lyric video, I really intentionally didn't include much Hillary or Donald Trump imagery or anything, because I didn't want it to be so tied to the now. I wanted it to be a bit more universal. But it is interesting how, with the American election coming up and the Brexit vote, and it's sort of, I mean, in a way, I mean, it seems like this, that song had been brewing in me for a long time. It was written very quickly this spring, in a matter of, you know, usually it takes me weeks to write a song. That song kind of came together in about 2 days. And it sort of just seemed to be a reaction to all the crap going on in the world.
Yeah, timing is a wonderful thing, and you just seem to strike with the iron hot. So, so if do you ever play any computer games?
I certainly used to. I feel like I don't have any time these days because family stuff. But when I was younger, I did. Actually, I used to be like big into nerdy stuff. When I was like 12, 13, I used to play like text-based online games, stuff like that. And I got really into computers in my teenage years for a little while, and then I kind of got more into guitar eventually, which I'm thankful for. But I was a big computer guy for a little while.
Yeah, that's just about as far as I can go as well, because I just don't really play games. So it's not like I'm going to start digging out, oh yeah, I did Duke Nukem. No, I didn't do any of that stuff.
Oh, I remember Duke Nukem and Doom.
Yeah, oh
sure.
Man.
Yeah, of course.
Scary shit at the time, I tell you. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've given me way more time than you need to. I usually cap these things at 10 minutes, but I could talk to you for a long time because it's actually interesting.
Very kind. Well, I appreciate that you have, soaked in these songs and thought about the lyrics and stuff like that. That's further than most people will give their attention to anything these days. So I truly appreciate it.